Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
We're going to go today to the book of Philippians. I first want to give you our title for today. And the title for today's message is Source versus Resource. Say Source versus Resource. I want to talk today about source and resource and how we come to a place of provision in life and how we come into our blessings and walk in our blessings and be a blessing to others on today. We're going to look at 1 Philippians chapter 4. I'm not going to put all the scripture on the screen, so go ahead and turn in your Bibles or in your device to Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read it, but it won't be on the screen. So Philippians chapter 4 from verse 10. The Apostle Paul wrote, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now in the last, at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well in that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek a gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling savor, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." And now, verse 19. Verse 19 is not for you. It's not for me. It's for the Philippians. Right? We claim the scripture. It ain't talking about me or you. It's for them. Now, if you did what they did, you'll qualify. "For my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." So, don't run and grab Philippians 4:19. Not talking about you or me. He's talking about what the Philippians did, and that because of what they had given, now my God shall bless you. The point, though, is because we are givers, amen. Say, I'm a giver. Then, yes, Philippians 4:19, the context, it does apply to you if you're doing what they did. So source and resource are very important terms to understand, to recognize how we get to the place of knowing our source and then accepting and receiving resources. Now, let's go look at the scripture a little closely. Here's verses 11 through 13 on the screen. I'll point some things out. So as Paul was speaking, he made a point that as he was speaking about giving and receiving, he wasn't trying to play people. You know, sometimes people are just trying to play you when you talk about giving. They were trying to play you and get your money and all this kind of stuff. Paul wasn't doing that. Paul was trying to help them. See, Paul wasn't trying to get help. He was trying to help. And sometimes people understand that, you know, what you think is sometimes is someone trying to get something from you is actually trying to show you how to get things into your life. So Paul said, "I don't speak in regard to need. I've learned in whatever state I am in." And in fact, NIV version, skip to the next slide real quick. We come back to that. NIV says, Philippians 4:11, I'm not saying this because I am in need. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Say content. Now go back to the previous slide. Now, this is very important to get a hold of this. Contentment. Contentment is that place where you feel that in God, in yourself, you're okay. Even though the circumstances may be, you know, not okay and upheaval around you, in yourself, you feel like God's got it. I'm okay. I'm not panicked. I'm not overjoyed, but I'm content. I'm fully satisfied that I'm in the hand of God. So Paul said, so I'm not saying this, that Paul may have had great needs when he wrote this, but he wasn't letting on because he understood, he had learned in whatever state, whatever circumstance. I know how to be abased, Paul said. I know how to abound, to be abased. I know how to have things go badly. How people can, you know, talk about me and lie on me, and or I can mess myself up. I mean, I've learned how to be abased. Now listen, he's saying he didn't learn to become comfortable with being abased or look forward to more of it. I learned how to handle myself when it happens. That's what he's saying. I learned how to handle myself when things don't go well. I learned, he says, I've learned how to abound. Now, some people get a little bit of money and go crazy. You know what I'm saying? You get like a check for $400. Ooh, that ain't no money. Got $1,000, that's no money. $5,000, that ain't nothing either. Now, $50,000 is starting to be something, you know what I'm saying? The point is, whether you have a lot or a little, don't react to it. Don't overreact, I'll say, to it. My wife just showed me something, sitting there doing that worship song, and wife showed me something. An envelope. Something came in the mail from an anonymous donor. It had a check for $10,000. Now, that's what I said. We said, praise the Lord. But I've learned how to abound. I've learned how to handle myself when there's a lock. We get check and there's a big bill in there. Open that up like, oh, man, you owe this, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. Which, by the way, we don't owe nothing. In fact, we are debt-free now. We don't get checks, bills like that no more. We don't get no mail like that no more. The point is, I remember back when we bought this building, and we had to close. We had a closing date of back in 93. It's old news, y'all. And it was a commercial building, so we didn't know, wasn't told, that the tax bill was due. If a church buy a commercial building, you know, you don't pay taxes up front. Nobody. So then we had to pay the tax that was owed on the property when it was still a commercial property. No way out of it. Now we're tax exempt, property tax exempt since then. But when you buy a property, you got to pay what's due on it. It was a big bill. And so I had to call every member of the church and personally ask for help. Now, that was hard to do, y'all. I don't like asking folk for stuff anyway. I just trust people do what they want to do. But I had to ask. And I was in tears every single call. Now, I shouldn't have been, because folks just stepped up and did it. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying that sometimes you are based with having to do things you do not want to do. Amen. It's just not, it's not your nature. It's just not your nature. It's not to go around asking for stuff. It's not, but it was the right thing to do. And the people stepped up, and we had the cash, went to closing table, and closed, and we were done. Bought the building, all right? So understand, Paul is speaking from experiences, that contentment comes from learning. So if you get a lot of money, you don't just go crazy and try to spend it everywhere. You know, if you have don't have any money, you don't go, woe is me, I'm cursed. You don't go, yes, I've learned to be content. Whatever circumstance I'm in. Did you see what happened? You know what happened when Captain Sully landed the airplane on the river? Did you hear the voice recording? Went up, lost engines. Plane has no power. In fact, the reporter after the fact asked him, he said, weren't you excited? Weren't you concerned? Weren't you afraid? He said, I had no time for that. I had no time for that. Who talks like that? Somebody who's content, who's trained, who's expert, who's been through situations. He's a veteran, Air Force or Naval, I forget what he was, Air Force, I don't know, but a pilot. And so that they was on the radio saying, you got to turn around, so they can't turn around. How about an alternate landing, too far? He said, we're going to be in the river. And then, but he told the reporter afterwards, I knew I could do it. I knew I could do it. Because he trained for it. Now, training don't cover everything. The point is, he learned how to be based in training. Where they have you being trained, they turn in the simulator, they just start turning stuff off. They cut your engines. Let the bird hit the thing in the simulator. Now, of course, simulation is different than real life. The point is, he had learned how to be abased, how to abound. And when the moment came, he landed the airplane on the Hudson River. Everybody got off. Now, of course, we say it's the miracle on the Hudson. Yes, it's the miracle. But miracles work better with people who know what they're doing. Amen. I mean, it depends on what, you know what I'm saying. I mean, you put me in the airplane. The miracle is we all going to heaven today. That's the miracle. Everybody are to hell. Everybody going somewhere today. I can't fly this thing. Okay. Watch this. So back to the scripture. So he says, I have learned whatever state I'm in to be content. He says, everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and suffer need. He learned. He didn't say, I've learned how to enjoy being hungry or enjoy suffering. I learned how to handle myself when I'm going through it. And I dare say most of us have learned the same lessons, haven't we? Yeah, I mean, if you're of a certain age, you have learned, already learned. The question is, how do you act when things happen again? Because you've already learned. So when the circumstance comes again, are you acting, responding to your learning? Or are you getting outside of that space of grace? Then he said, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There it is. That's how he came to the place of learning. That's how we come, because Christ has strengthened us. He didn't do it for us, not always. He strengthened you to do it. Say this, say, God doesn't do everything for me. He strengthens me to do it. Yeah. Now, we would wish God to do things for us. Sometimes he does, but most of the time, you're doing it, and he gives you the strength to do it. Amen, somebody? All right, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. This is something that David said when the people gave and they had offerings for the temple. He says, this part of the prayer, we come back to it, says, but who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you. And what we give you, and we give you only what you first gave us. So the nature of all giving and serving, financial or otherwise, is you can only give what God's given you. That's the whole That's the whole mentality. I'm not giving of just what I created. I'm giving what God helped me to receive. So that's important perspective on the difference between source and resource. We'll come to that definition here in a moment. All right, now God's economy is based on receiving, giving, and receiving. So how we operate in God, how we get through life with our finances and property and things like that, we in Christ and God, the economy is we receive, we give, and we receive. That's a cycle. And in fact, the Bible says, what do you have that you did not receive? So we're not creators. We're not source people. We're not people who are a source. We depend on a source. And so we live this cycle. We're receiving and giving and receiving. And so, you know, whoever, you know, well, that gift that came to us in the mail, that was giving. Right, and that person's receiving. Amen. Because they can. I mean, you can't give any kind of money, I mean, anything, if you haven't received it. Right. And think about being a good giver is a good giver is sacrificial. I mean, they give, it hurts a little bit. You know, it don't destroy them. They don't wipe out all their accounts to give. You know what I'm saying? But you feel it. You feel it. But it's not like, but if you're a giver, you don't even miss it. Because you give it, and you don't think about what they're doing with my money. No, if you gave it, it's not yours. Amen. Right? Like one preacher said, there are givers and kickers. Givers don't kick, and kickers don't give. Besides that, when we give because we know God's the source, we give and then we receive. If you release it to God, to the purposes of God, you then put God's power in a position to be able to bless you. In other words, law of reciprocity says, Jesus said, the measure that I give is given back to me. Not just money, y'all, time and your talents and your service. So we understand that God's the source. He creates resources. And because we understand that cycle, we receive, we give and receive and give and receive, and it keeps going. You got that? All right, let's look at this now. We receive everything from God, including seed to sow. We give ourselves to God's purposes, including seed designed for sowing. All right, so again, we receive everything, our lives. I mean, literally everything, our breath, our existence. Of course, through the birth of our parents, but God gave our parents. He gave them parents. I mean, everything come from God. We know this. He also gave us seed to sow. Now listen, there are some, most of what God gives you, he wants you to use. He wants you to use it for yourself, for your family, for your purposes. But some things God gives you are not for you. It's for others. It's for purpose. That's why it's called a seed. So we give ourselves to God's purposes, including the seed that's designed for sowing. And then from that, we receive increase for God's kingdom purposes, and we also increase. So case in point, when you give financially and with your service to the ministry, New Covenant, then of course, you know, what we do with that, we turn around, we bless others, missions in Africa, and Jesus House, and we help with different ways, and members of our church. So we see God's kingdom purpose increase, but then you see increase personally. God just has this system, man. God takes care of people who take care of his business. Amen. He just, it's how God is. God's, you know, he just takes care of people who give and serve and help his purposes. Because it's almost like it makes sense. I mean, if you have a good employee, If you've been an employer or a supervisor, you know how important a good person is in your organization? Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
You know how good a good person is. And so you know how important it is to bless them, to hold them accountable, but to honor their work and all reward their work, because the more you empower them, the more they give back to the whole enterprise. Is that true? And so that's why God knows this. So God encourages us in terms of how we serve. And so when we serve God the way he wants to be served, he just simply rewards us. He just said, look, this is for you. This is for you. This is not for you. This is not seed to sow. This is your seed. This is yours. Use that. Enjoy that. You know, God gave you good things to enjoy. I hope y'all, listen, y'all, are y'all enjoying life? Please enjoy life now. I hope you are not living to work, but working to live. All right? You don't live to work, but you have to work, so you work to live. Whereas the work brings the blessing. The work brings the seed you can enjoy. It brings the seed you can give. You got that? So source and resource. Let's get into it now. A resource, define it for you. A resource is a supply of money, materials, staff, and other assets that can be drawn on by a person or organization in order to function effectively. Definition from the dictionary. A supply, all right? A source is a point of origin or procurement, anything or place from which something comes, arises, or is obtained. So understand resource and source, and keep the proper perspective on these two. Now, ultimately, we know God is our source, right? He's the ultimate source, capital S, from whom all things come. But be clear about that there are other sources that God puts in position in place for us. For example, your bank account and your investments and things are supposed to be a source. Not the ultimate source, but a source. Now, when you draw on it, it becomes a resource. You follow me? When you draw on what you have in the bank, what you've saved, your investments, when it's time, but when it's in there and you've, you know, put money in, you saved and so forth, then that becomes a source financially. And when you need it, it's a resource. You got that? All right. Now understand, then, it's important to pay attention to your sources. Because if the source is not there, the resource can't come. And so that's why we want to be careful to not get into this, you know, this consumerism mentality and consumption mentality and, you know, and just buying stuff up because it's on sale. If you don't need it, I don't care if it is on sale. But they know, you know, the marketing machinery knows that word sale. And they put blue light above it, whatever. They know things that trigger us. And they know that when you get up in there, the thing you want is already gone. So now it's a bait and switch. Amen, somebody? We should do a whole, well, y'all know all this stuff, right? You know all the tricks, don't you? You don't fall into any of this stuff, do you? You don't fall into this stuff? Well, I have to, I know. All I got to say about that is, when I fall into it, I get it from Amazon so I can send it back. Amen? All right. That's all I got to say about that. Okay. Send it straight back. Now look at Luke 12:15. This is a very important text here. This is powerful. And Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. That flies right up against the materialistic mindset in our culture, because people want to make you think their life does consist of the abundance of things that they possess. Now, I don't hate on anybody. I'm not trying to do that. But I understand, you know, I've been there too. But why, just answer me this question. Why would you do stuff to a car and the car don't run right? It don't run. You know, look at it. You know, it only just hitting and hitting and missing. Why would you put all this stuff on the car and the car don't run right? I mean, there is a mentality that says, I'm content with the illusion that my life does consist of the abundance of things, or things define me. Things should not define us. That's the point that why we're in Christ. We're in Christ so that He can define us. Purpose defines us. And having good things is okay. I'm telling you, having good things, nice things, fancy things, nothing wrong with that. Just don't get the cart before the horse. Got that? I thought about this. Man, gangsters, liars, cheaters, and people who've profited off of abusing other people have a lot of things. That true? Gangsters, liars, cheaters, people putting other people through bad things and deceiving people have gotten a lot of stuff off of that. And I go deeper than that. Whole countries have been taken over. And then people say it was a Christian principle, or that God was in it, God bless America, and this kind of stuff. He ain't blessing nothing you stole. I'm just going a little deeper now. It's the season for that. You know, it's the season. Just come on out, you know. Ain't no point in tiptoeing anymore. That said, God is merciful. And God has blessed America. He has. So I thank God that, see, understand, we have clear eyes about these things. Life does not consist in the abundance of things He possesses. All right. Psalm 33, verse 16 says, no king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. Verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy. There it is. So the fact that, the big army, the great strength, all this kind of stuff, don't trust that. Trust the Lord. Now, God can use your strength. God can use your stuff. But don't put your stuff ahead of Him, because don't forget, your strength and your army is not your source. Your source is the Lord. He says, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him and on those who hope in His mercy. That's where you want to be. You want God's eye on you. Not because you make yourself out to be what you really can't be, but because you know who He is. So then, watch this. There is no virtue in being poor or not having things. So then people run to the other side and say, well, you know, after all, didn't Jesus said, blessed are the poor. He did not say, blessed are the poor. Jesus did not say, blessed are the poor. I'm going to show you, Pastor. Show me. Look it up. Read it. What does it say? It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Come on now. Poor and poor in spirit are different things now. Come on here. And the old saying is, if you think poor is a blessing, you've not been poor enough. Because if and when you have been poor, you felt no blessing. When stuff didn't get paid, come on, you didn't quit on God, but you knew that this is not where I'm supposed to be. So poor in spirit means just this: I need more of God. I need more of God. Poor in spirit. I need more of God. And therefore, the kingdom then is my source. See, the poor person lacks resources. But when a poor person connects to the source, then resources come. But the thing is, the attitude is, I don't care how much money I would have and have gained and all this kind of stuff. I don't care how far how high I rise, doesn't matter, I must still be poor in spirit. I'll continue to need God. Because, listen, didn't Howard Hughes find out all that money couldn't heal him? Howard Hughes, that's old school stuff. He's a rich guy, aviator, but he had an illness, you know, mental illness, which is, you know, not funny, but he declined, but his money couldn't save him. So he had all the resources anybody could want, but the resources couldn't save him. He didn't have the source. The point is understood now that poverty and lack, here, go back to the slide, poverty and lack can be major distractions to living according to your purpose. Amen to that. Man, I don't care how spiritual you are. You get broke. Broke is on your mind. It's stuff not right. Like, this guy get right. I mean, between your hallelujahs and praise the Lord and all that, like, Lord, this money ain't right. You keep going back to that. That's why we want to connect to the source. I mean, both God and get our sources, our savings and our financial plans, and get all that stuff correct too, so that the sources are in place and we're not distracted. We're not distracted. We don't want to pay a big bill, but we can pay it. It's there. Send the check. It's done. Right? I mean, I'd rather believe God replenished something than to have to be concerned about not having it. So thank God, as our source, he trains us then to understand we don't trust in anything in this world. We trust him, but we use wisdom. Now watch this next point. How do we balance our real need for resources without gaining a consumption mentality? Right? Because things is real. We need things. You know, we have raising children, and we know this. We have great needs. But how do we balance that and not have this consumption mentality? Here's how we do it. Not by focusing on resources, but on sources, and the source in particular. That's the whole point of today's message. So we then focus on the Lord, principles such as seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. So the time you would spend worrying about not having a resource, you should spend time in prayer to the source, worshiping God, getting your heart right with God, getting your mind straight with God. Because once we get our mind, our heart straight with God, we can then have a clearer view how to handle circumstances. Yeah, it's not magic, you know what I'm saying? It's not like when you pray to God, God's going to change it all for you. Like I told you, you know, God doesn't do a lot of things. We give God credit for everything. But in fact, it's you doing stuff. It's you being empowered by God to do things. He gives you strength. Jesus told the disciples, you heal the sick. You lay hands on them. He said, you do. You cast out devils. I'll give you power, but you do the work. And God does miracles. He does. But we don't live by miracles. We live by faith. And faith without works is dead. So we have to learn how to connect to the source and then become skillful in creating sources for ourselves and then wise about how to use resources. It's called stewardship. Say stewardship. So we don't want to get into what they call, you know, conspicuous consumption, you know, just getting stuff to have stuff, call it bling, things like that. We don't want to do all that. You know, I mean, I don't know rich people. I know a few. I've known a few. And you wouldn't, looking at them, you wouldn't know they were rich. You would not know. Looking at them, you think, he ain't rich. Because rich people don't have to look like it. Amen. Duh. It's folk that trying to get rich and die trying. They looking like it. So we don't want to, we know better. So then because of our connection to our source, we don't have to stress about appearances and all this. We just focus on connecting with God, operating in wisdom, operating in the right principles, and paying attention to what's going on in our lives, in our minds, in our finances, paying attention to things so that those things don't come back and harass us. Amen? Amen. You know, every now and then in my business, I've got accounts for different things, and I attach a debit card to it, and it pays every month, you know, certain services I need. But sometimes I lose track of stuff. I got a lot of things going on. And every now and then, you know, nowadays you get a new debit card to come through. And sometimes a new debit card has a new number. Or if a card that has some fraud thing, you got to replace the card. And then what happens with that, all the automatic stuff gets disrupted. And sometimes it does me a favor. Like, oh, you want you asking me for a new card for that? And I still got that? So it's a good opportunity to cut it off. We have to have wisdom. We have to pay attention as much as possible, because it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. It's not Godzilla that's taking you down. You know what I'm saying? It's that little bitty thing over there. It's a little thing that's several little things nip at us. Someone called it the death of paper cuts. You know, I mean, there's so many small things. When we know our source and we are communing with God, He awakens your mind to things that you wouldn't pay attention to ordinarily. He just shows you stuff. That's an advantage of having the source. Your source, God, cares about your resources. And if you talk to Him enough, He'll remind you about stuff too that has got out of your mind, that's left your mind. That's why we love God for lots of reasons. All right, next slide. So how do we know about God as our source? How do we know this? Number one, we know because God is motivated by fatherly love. Now, those of us who are fathers and mothers or father-like ones and uncle, whoever, you know, when you care for a child, you see things they don't see, obviously. That's why you're a parent, parental role. And it's love that directs you to redirect them sometime. That they're into something you see is not productive for them, you redirect them from that. That's called fatherly love. You know, and Father God does the same for us. God will pull you off of stuff. God will pull you away from people. Yeah, I tell you, that one, just kind of phase them out. I don't mean your spouse now. Come on, I don't mean your spouse. I don't mean you can't phase out something, you know. The devil will take a word like that. See, the pastor said, get to phase people out. So I can make sure, you know. No. Make sure we fix it up. But now the God will pull you away from people. Not cut them off, not ghosting and that kind of stuff. I mean, just as Father, He knows, the Father knows best. So pay attention to Him. Number two, God is the possessor of heaven and earth and has access to everything we need. We should know this. We know this in our mind, but please understand, in the circumstance, when the resource dries up, you still have the source who possesses heaven and earth and has access to every resource. So things that you don't see, God sees everything. That's why I'm saying when we embarked upon this challenge to fix this roof and the amount was way beyond what I could really think of naturally, we just trusted God. Now we have God's doing things, you know? Man, I mean, you're giving sacrificially and we've had a couple of big gifts come in. And wow. And this doesn't happen until we really put a demand on the source. Wishful thinking, hoping and praying doesn't get it done. Number three, God requires that we worship Him, not the things or the people in our lives. He blesses those who humble themselves and give to Him. All right, talk about David. We'll finish up here. About David's example when he prepared to build the tabernacle. And 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1, David said to all the assembly, King David said to the assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. And the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord. Now, what's the problem with being young and experienced? Well, it's not really a problem. What it is, when you're young and experienced, you haven't understood how sources and resources work. That's the only thing. A young person, an experienced person, doesn't know how sources and resources work. And so through experience and through mentoring, you can be trained and helped understand how to navigate. I mean, for example, we know, you know, we had a media camp, summer media camp for 19 years. We ended that in 2017. But for all those years, we had funding for that, grant funding from Little Endowment. You know that. What you maybe did not know was, at the beginning, we sought a lot of people, a lot of sources, all right? That means funding sources, if you will, as our resource. And that was before I understood how sources work, because I'm like, hey, y'all got money, y'all should give us some. My thinking was, we got a good program here, you got money, you should give us some of it. Now, that simplistic thinking is not wrong, but it doesn't understand how things actually work. Because the fact that you say you got a good program, can you show it? Can you show me how good it is? You got to show somebody what you got. Right. You can't assume that I got a good program, you got money, give me some. Right. You got to demonstrate how have you been handling money. What are you putting in yourself? That's the big one. People around saying, give me $1,000. What you got into it? Let me give a little hint to y'all. If you do a GoFundMe campaign, you put some money in first. Okay, GoFundMe, want to raise money for this, and it says zero. What you put? You can't start a campaign, and you put nothing in? But that's the sense. People have that resource mentality. But see, the sources understand, respect people paying attention, especially God. So the point is, we received all these grants, I mean, tens of thousands of dollars, I mean, tens and tens of thousands since 2000, and two grants, real large grants, for us large grants. The point is, not because I knew people. The problem we had was most of the sources I went to didn't know me and knew nobody who knew me. And if you don't know people who know people in life, most things for you won't happen in this world. But the endowment was different. They looked at what we actually proposed. That's kind of rare, it really is. When we actually proposed what we already had done, checked the financials, and said, oh, yeah, these people, we're going to trust them. We're going to trust them. And so we received a grant from them, you know, the first grant, 2000, and every year after that, because it wasn't about I knew somebody who knew somebody. We had something that they looked at and valued, distinct from me being somebody. That's rare nowadays. So my point is, when you're navigating life and source and resources, sometimes don't be simplistic. That's why you need to connect with people. You know, volunteer, connect, meet people, you know, give of yourself. Now, I would have done that too, except I don't have time. I was pastoring. I couldn't run around and volunteer everywhere, and just to connect and make networks. I don't have time for that. I just couldn't do it. Didn't have to with media camp, because the media spoke for itself. All right. So then, let me look at this and finish up here. I got to finish right now. 1 Chronicles 29. So then, when the people gave, they heard David's heart. They were connected to the source. I mean, David and people, they were all connected to the source. And then because of that, they gave of their resources. Here was the praise that David gave. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and give strength to all. Watch this. Now, therefore, God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. For who am I and who are your people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given, that we should be able. What makes you able? Worshiping God. Acknowledging God as source makes you able. Before you have anything, before you have any money, any connections, what makes you able is being connected to God. Start there. Seek his kingdom first. Amen. So, final points. Recognizing your source puts you in position to receive from your source. Riches and honor, he said, David said, riches and honor come from you. Riches are resources. Honor is recognition. So when you recognize your source, God, or in a source of different funders, okay, we gave, you know, we recognized Lillian Diamond, we submitted to them what they asked for. I mean, when you recognize who you're dealing with, they recognize that you're paying attention. All right, watch this. God as source reigns over all and has an endless supply. God won't reign in your life if you don't recognize him properly. Listen, this is a volunteer system. It's not slavery. So in God's kingdom in the church, you notice that we don't demand stuff. We don't threaten. We don't do anything except here's an opportunity because it's a volunteer system. We just ask you to recognize God. And if you love God, then you see what his purpose is in the church, in the kingdom, in the world, in missions, whatever we're trying to do, or the building. The temple is for the Lord, he said. And so all I can do, all I really want to do is to help you and train you to the source. Because when people get a hold to the source, you follow me? Then God himself will inspire people. All we can say is his giving opportunity to give this, pledge that, and people just do it, man, because they know God. And then as a virtue of honoring the source, the blessing and the favor come back. Next point here. So realizing God as our source is essential to a life of purpose and living a life that makes sense. Life makes sense when we are connected to God. Think about the time when life didn't make sense to you. Either you weren't saved, or you were saved and kind of just got confused and discouraged and lost track of God. And now all this stuff makes no sense. Now, it's not like we know God, stuff just makes sense, everything. No, what it is, if it don't make sense, you don't care. You've cast a care on God. You stop trying to make folk make sense. Why did he say that? I don't know why he said it. Get back to God. And God will tell you, pray for him. Don't worry about that. Now, Siri talking to me. The watch, the phone all spoke up. That's creepy. You're not my source. All right. Last slide. Here we go. When you get the source correct, blessing and favor follow. Say, when I get the source correct, blessing and favor follow. I mean, it sounds simplistic, but it's true. And when you get the source wrong, then things become confused and weird. So get the source right. When you get frustrated, overwhelmed, man, just turn stuff off, TV, phone, whatever, and just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just kind of worship him. Just pull your mind, your heart right back in. Because what the enemy wants to do is get you scattered. And then becoming desperate, you know, for resources and all this. No, focus on him. Say, I'll focus on him. Let's all stand. Father, thank you today.